Now he got stoned again. Kind of the gavel half hour ago, so that's good.
Yeah, it's going to be a short meeting.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Could be.
I don't mind.
You are. So get ready.
Oh, boy.
Oh, is Jennifer out today? Oh, that's right. She wasn't,
yes.
Yeah, she wasn't there for the meeting either, the planning commission meeting. She finally gets a vacation.
Because I'm an at-large guy.
Wow.
Were there any comments from the
we're really slammed this week.
Thing we have to do more from the closed session?
Oh, John?
He's currently doing booth graphics.
Huh. Asked. So gotta be careful what you ask for sometimes.
Okay, the meeting of the Stanton City Council is now in session.
Council Agency Authority Member Ramirez?
Yes.
Council Agency Authority Member Van?
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Warren?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairman Taylor?
Here.
And Mayor Chairman Schauer?
Yes.
Pledge
of
Allegiance. Dave,
you've
never done it.
Dave.
A little payback, huh? Please join me as we pledge the greatest flag in the world. Let me begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and with liberty and justice for all.
Special presentation awards, none. Consent calendar. Does anybody wish to pull an item on the consent
I'd like to pull 9I, please.
Move the balance.
Second.
Do we need a roll call?
Voice vote would suffice. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Taylor? All passed, and we're moving on to item 9I. And 9I is award of a professional services agreement to Wolfsby Research to conduct a citywide community needs assessment. Yeah, question. Is the vendor here tonight?
Yes.
Great. I'd love to ask how it is that you'll be able to outreach to the communities that we hope will be representative when you do your, I believe it's a few hundred, your sample size is going to be a few hundred residents. My understanding from reading this is that they'll mostly be phone interviews, and if they're anything like the phone interviews I've received in the past, is most people don't pick up numbers they don't recognize. So how do you actually reach a representative sample?
And sir, if you don't mind moving that mic closer to your, there, perfect.
Our job is to be representative of your entire constituency. So we take a multi-mode approach, and in fact, most of the responses we get in 2021 online. And so first we do call, first we start out by the online email and send text messages to get responses. And they both are onboarded to the same online experience where they get to choose their preferred language. So English, Spanish, and in the case so those three are options. And so the vast majority of responses are going to come in online just because that's how there is an element of your constituency that will prefer to talk on the phone. And so we will talk to people on landlines, amazingly enough. There are still some people that have landlines, and they do like to answer them. And then the vast majority of people who talk to us on the phone will of course be on mobile because that's just so it really permeates all constituencies. age groups, across genders, across geography, across income levels, to make sure that we're penetrating and everybody gets a chance.
Do you guys collect data on, I guess, the demographics in which of the samples that you guys collect? For example, if you look at the census data for Stanton, a good, you know, close to 70% of folks speak a language other than English in the household. I think 44% are immigrants. How do you ensure that those numbers are reflected in your sample once you collect everything?
So our job is to make sure it's reflected. So if I've got to keep calling until I get that, you know, next Vietnamese dentist who, you know, makes over $100,000 a year, and this one doesn't answer my phone, I'll call the next one. If I've got to get that, you know, the next constituency, whatever it is, we'll make sure that we're doing it. It's our job to make sure we're matching it based on all those different demographic factors. And we will. It's kind of sometimes hard to believe that people are responsive, but they're interested in the subject matter. They care about their community. Some people might be bored. Some people might think it's their civic duty. People do respond, and it's our job to make sure it matches. So when it comes back, we're within a percentage point or two of all those different.
And how long are your online surveys?
So really, we haven't decided exactly all the details, but we'll be working with staff to develop the questionnaire itself. And look, I'll be putting, you know, downward pressure to try to keep it, you know, at about 20 minutes or so or less. And staff might say we've got more questions and we're going to punch it up a little bit. But regardless, our job is to make sure we get.
Okay, and if someone starts an online survey and abandons it halfway because it's too long or whatever, do you count those numbers or no?
We don't, but we do make every attempt to try to get them to complete it so they can always come back. And the same thing on a phone call. We get to talk to them if someone says that they're walking their dog and they say, I've got to go. Mm-hmm. We can say, can we call you back? We're very amenable to figuring out how to make sure we do get that. If they're abandoned in the middle, we do not include them. Only
And then lastly, are you working with any of our local CBOs or nonprofits to make sure you outreach to the really hard to reach communities?
So we do not anticipate doing that. CDC, oddly enough, is the one that tracks cell phone usage in America. And we find that even people who are unhoused have, in, you know, very high percentage of the 90 percentile, have cell phones, and we have access, amazingly or scary, access to consumer data that essentially brings in everyone. You can be undocumented, you can be homeless, and you're still in consumer data files. So we believe we'll be reflective of all those different.
Okay, and then do you offer any sort of incentives for people to fulfill these surveys?
We do not. I mean, if we have to, we do, but in general, there's no reason to. People, like I said, all those different reasons, for whatever reason, speaks.
All right. I look forward to the results. I'm curious to see how this gets done, so thank you. I'll move it.
I'll second. I had a quick second question. Are we going to need, I think we have, you know about what the cost is going to be?
$44,000.
I said we give it up to a certain amount of money. You have an idea.
$44,000.
I think that's what the cap is.
Yeah.
It's not to exceed. Is that what it that we're budgeting, or do we have a?
I think there's a contingency in there. I think it just gives flexibility to staff for the various different things. I think we're looking at focus group, extended survey, whatever it is. I think that gives us, essentially gives you every opportunity. There's nothing else that we would possibly do outside of that.
Sure. Thank you for your question, Mayor and members of this council. So we do, as Mr. Bobulski mentioned, have flexibility to conduct an initial survey. There's a fee structure that includes possibilities for focus groups. Mr. Bobulski has assured us that the dashboard and any findings and results and presentations to council or other key stakeholders would also be included in that package.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The item passes.
authority initiated business, I'm sorry. Nope. 15A, committee reports.
I do have an announcement, if that's okay. So the Stanton Community Foundation is hosting our 7th annual charity shootout on November 4th. And you guys can register if you're interested at stantoncommunityfoundation.org. And all proceeds will benefit the Stanton community. We use that money to pay for things like the senior exercise program, you know, math classes for kids during the summer, for kids who are struggling, and then various things like hoodies and sweaters for kids who can't afford them. So if you guys are interested, please do visit our website at stantoncommunityfoundation.org. Thanks.
And 15B, council agents and authority initiated items for a future meeting. Items from the city attorney.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Mayor, Council. Nothing to report tonight.
17 items from the city manager.
Yes, thank you, sir. No real items tonight, but seeing Mr. Risser knock into the audience reminded me that Katie closed on the Housing Authority parcel 7455 today.
Oh, fantastic.
Yep.
That is
long time coming, as you know, so hopefully they'll begin, right, redevelopment of the area.
There's two houses there on Catella that have been eyesores for 20 years, probably.
That is great news.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. 1780, Fire Authority.
Good evening, Mayor Schauber, Mayor Pro Tem Taylor, Council Members Ramirez, Dan. Pleasure to be here this evening for the OCF report for the reporting period of September 2021. During this reporting period, there were a total of 321 incidents in the city incorporated. There was one incident of note, and I bring it up because it is, as I was recognized with the proclamation last meeting with the recognition of Fire Prevention Week. An incident occurred about 6:30 a.m. on September 23rd. It was a structure fire in a four-unit apartment complex on Hampton Way. The report that I received was that a resident, after getting up to take a shower upon exiting the bathroom, found that that particular bedroom was now on fire. It appears that it was electrical malfunction to a fan, a ceiling fan. But the point to note here is that there was no report of a working smoke alarm in the unit. Fortunately, this happened after gotten up for the morning, but it is one of those things that it happened in the middle of the night without a smoking working smoke alarm. It might have had a different outcome. So again, one of those things that is avoidable. A reminder to the public to make sure they have operational, well-working smoke alarms in their units. In the unincorporated area of the area, there were 55 incidents, no fires. There were, let me go back to the calls breakdown for you in the incorporated areas. There were 14 fires, 10 calls for service. We call those either calls for service or hazardous conditions, 321 EMS calls and 345 total calls. In the unincorporated area, 4 calls for service or hazardous conditions and 51 EMS related calls. And we were able to participate on September the 17th, 46, along with our educator, Bill Vieira, participated in the City of Stanton Family Resource Center open house. It was unfortunate I didn't have a chance to introduce our newest battalion chief, Battalion 8. Eric Miranda came to Battalion 8 a couple of weeks ago. He was present here at the last meeting when Engine 46 was recognized for their life-saving. Eric comes to us with 17 years of fire service experience. He started his career in 2004 with the City of Santa Ana. He has a bachelor's degree from UCLA and an associate's degree in fire tech from Santa Ana College. He's married and a father of one son and one daughter. Hopefully that is supposed to be able to introduce him to you. Currently, the Orange County Fire Authority is remains supporting incidents up and down the state. We have about 10 individuals to various management teams, as well as the an engine strike team, which was sent out yesterday to the fire that's currently burning in the Santa Barbara area. That fire now is over 13,000. COVID still has a minor impact to our regular business. We They are largely open for business as a reminder to the community, plan checking, open up more and more beginning after the first of the year. We will be reintroducing our annual fire inspection program that's operated at field level. That's your engine and truck companies, from those business inspections. Again, as we talked about last meeting, the importance of prevention work to businesses business, where we can avoid those fires. And as a reminder, as we're moving into the holiday season, more and more cooking will be going on. The temptation to use candles for some ambiance. As a reminder that when you're cooking for the community, that they make sure that they don't leave unattended. You'd be surprised how many cooking fires we actually go to for unattended cooking. Candles also a contributing factor to residential fires. A reminder to the community to make sure they extinguish candles before going to bed. And once again, a reminder to install and make sure you have properly operating smoke alarms. With that, those are my remarks.
Thank you very much. Tonight, to adjourn the meeting, we'd like to honor two of our citizens, deceased citizens.
Yes.
They passed away. Phyllis Philippek and Art Ardinger. All right, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Before I do that, I did wanted to kind of make a special announcement. This is kind of an anniversary for one of our staffers here who plays a very important role in our city, and that's our city attorney, Hung Dao. Is really a great asset. She works for BBK, and she is just doing a stellar job for our city, not only working with our staff, but also working with our city council. And we're very lucky to have her. We're going to keep her, and we're not going to let her get away. So anyway, let's give her a big hand for the great job. Anyway, thank you, Yuri, for that. Phyllis Philippek was 93 years old, lived her almost entire life here in Stanton, very active at Pacifica High School as an educator, later on working at St. Polycarp School, volunteer with the city of Stanton on just about everything we did. We used to have Stanton days in the olden days. Also very much volunteered at the Boys and Girls Club. Her husband, who preceded her, was an active wood carver. And so they lived over on Linmore, right just south of Orangewood. It was always nice to go over and see him carving in his garage. The other is good old Art Ardinger. Art is a former retired Air Force. He was 99, and he is very active in helping in the business community. Art owned a very good sign company. We had two in our city, and his sign company was probably one of the most successful ones. So it was good to know that he always gave back to our community. He was one heck of a bingo player. Whether it was at St. Polycarp or the city or wherever he could play bingo, he would go. In fact, he was playing bingo 2 days before he passed, and he won the $10,000 jackpot at Fountain Valley.
Wow.
So Art was always good at what he did. But anyway, two of our great citizens that we'll long remember, and we'll get a little certificate off to their families. Anyway, thank you, Gary. Back to you.
The city council meeting tonight is now adjourned.